Welcome to the St. Vrain Valley Schools ELA Cast. I'm Zach Chase, and for this episode, I sat down with Assessment Coordinator Kimberly Wiggins to talk about supporting students in reflection on independent work. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hey, Kim.
Hi, Zach.
What do you do here at St. Vrain?
I'm Assessment Coordinator.
Ooh.
I'm one of two Assessment Coordinators for the district.
So one of the things I've heard you say that I'm curious about is that if a standardized assessment is the most complicated and difficult thing we ask a student to do during the school year, then we've already fallen short.
Yep.
What does that mean?
To me, what it means is that we're not helping students navigate enough of their independent work and really be true, in education terms, they call it assessment capable learners, where students know how to reflect on what their needs are and they know how to state that. So oftentimes it comes out I think it oftentimes comes out in the terms like test anxiety, but typically if I ask a student, or if I was looking at a student who's working, I would see them also shut down when they get longer articles, or shut down when they get a task they don't know how to do, or shut down when they have a lot of word problems, or they don't know how to break something down.
Okay.
And so we sometimes don't teach them, I think they don't get a lot of opportunity in some ways to struggle with those, and so when they get to tasks like that where we can't help them, they don't oftentimes have their own inner strategies to approach it.
So then if I'm a teacher listening to this,
the
danger, like the unintended consequence of what you just said, I
think
unintended,
is,
oh, then I should give them harder work and not help them. Like,
right.
Just like lay it on.
Right.
Is that what you mean?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes not.
Okay.
I think it's appropriate sometimes. Like, see how a kid, like, hey, I'm going to give you something that you might struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Let them, and that's not all the time. This is something really, if we do it every once in a while and say, okay, what are your strategies for when this is hard, and then ask them to implement those strategies, I think that's great practice.
So that last piece could very easily be a throwaway line, and I want to talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
All right, this was hard for, it's that reflective piece on the back end,
yes.
Right? So you mentioned having students identify what they need help with.
Yes.
Identifying their own areas of need. And that has to be an actual conversation, right? We talk about authenticity in learning, and that reflection should be authentic. Right, sometimes as a teacher, or I see teachers write a reflection, like, oh, write a reflection. And then it's like a check mark. Like, oh, you did the reflection component.
Yeah.
But it sounds like what you're saying is there's learning to be done in examining that reflection.
We have to teach them how to reflect, yes. Because a lot of times reflections will just be like, I liked this, I didn't like this, and we're like, oh, we reflected. Everything from, if you're working with kindergartners, they could have red and green cups in front of them that mean like, hey, I'm getting this, hey, I'm not getting this, I need help. Like really on the very minute to minute in a very formative assessment way.
Mm-hmm.
So even with other kids, and then as kids get older, you're literally teaching them how to identify things that they struggled with, things they think they understand really well, and talk through it. And then that way they can talk to each other, and then they can talk to you. And you're talking about giving students language to learn how to help themselves.
So
I liked that, or I had a good day.
Right.
Doesn't help anyone.
Right. And I would imagine the successes are also helpful, right?
Like, totally.
So what did you learn? Why?
And how did you learn it?
And how did you get there?
Yep.
So help, just asking those pieces. What does that look like? So those are good questions, right? We're talking about good content. What are the mechanisms that you've seen teachers use? Because if I'm also hearing this, I'm like, oh, do I spend an entire lesson on reflection? Or, or like, what's like a 5-minute easy thing that you've seen? I mean, you mentioned the kind of cups for younger students.
Yes.
But if I'm talking with a like secondary crowd, what are some mechanisms you've seen teachers use to get that reflection going?
For concrete about what you did that day in class, I read this. I'll have to cite it at the end of this. We can put a citation somewhere. But having them choose their own homework on here's something I really enjoyed and here's another way I can apply it, and then here's something I struggled and here's how I approached how I struggled it.
Mm-hmm.
So kids coming up with their own homework based on classes. Part of homework should always be reviewing.
Can I say, I'm going to interrupt you
here.
Go ahead. That is fantastic.
Yes.
My experience along those lines
yes.
is that it's the repetition. It has to become a routine.
Totally.
Because these
yes.
are going to initially be
yes.
conversations students are uncomfortable having, right? Your first couple of like, ugh, this is, you'll get the worst sentences.
And that's where like, yet comes in.
Right.
Because a lot of times someone will say like, well, my kids can't. Like, well, yeah, they can't. Totally. They don't know how. They haven't
right.
been taught how. And so I'm also thinking sometimes it can be very explicit. Like one example I have that's concrete example is like I Ready Standards Mastery. We get the answers from those. You could very easily have a student reflect on the answers, whether I truly didn't know this, if I missed it, did I rush, why am I seeing patterns in my behavior, and when are those patterns emerging? So you could walk them through a really clear protocol, even any grade, before they do any independent work. What do I think I want to get out of this? What do I think I'm going to struggle with? And so priming them before of anything that they do, and then afterwards, did those things come true?
Well, and
quick writes, and
you mentioned iReady. I'm thinking from a daily basis. Yep. If I'm a teacher in a school where I'm putting the objective on the board at the beginning of every class, just, all right, here's the objective. Take 3 minutes, write down what you think you know about this and what question you, like one good question you have about it. And then at the middle of class or somewhere at a midpoint saying, all right, what have you learned? How does that change your initial answer? And then even thinking at the end of class, all right, look at what your initial answer is, think about what we've done, what's a new question, what was the answer to the one you came up with, and where did your learning happen or not? And that opens it up to help, because it's not just students who should be reflective, right? It's teachers as well.
Yes.
So if I see that, I mean, the majority of my class writes, I didn't really learn anything today. That's a piece of data that is helpful to me too, like, oh, okay, where did I, how could I have met the kids a little bit more?
Absolutely. Like, to me, that all is part of formative assessment. It's like, it's not just me coming up with thinking what Zach got or didn't get that day or what Ruth got or didn't get that day. It's letting Ruth and Zach tell me what they did or didn't get that day. Teaching kids how to do that and knowing that even as learners, as adults, we have a hard time doing that. I won't always be right, because if I truly didn't understand something, I may not know that I didn't understand it. So obviously, we'll always need the teacher's experience for that. But students won't be able to use that language and advocate for themselves until we give them the space to try it. And I think of that in a ton of different ways. When I use that example of iReady Standards Mastery, that's because that's a couple questions. But on any assessment, a quick write, a writer's notebook, whatever it happens to be, or even just, let's say you looked at your data and you noticed that you looked at data from something, let's say it's a writer's notebook, and you noticed that the kids really struggled with conclusions. I would put that challenge to the class. How do you like learning about conclusions? What are ways we've learned in the past that you really liked? What are some examples looking at other ways other people solve that problem?
What are questions you have about
how would they solve the problem?
Right.
If they were the teacher, how would you help us learn this? How would that be interesting? So I really like planning with students. I think I like planning with students. And I think having that, letting the students, and then they are a lot more bought into what they planned. Like, they wanted to learn it a certain way, we have content to get through too. So we always know that we have, if they left my class without, like my geometry class, without understanding Pythagorean theorem, you'd feel like you did them a disservice, right? But no kid innately says, I want to learn about Pythagorean theorem. But so knowing you have to teach that, letting them start to learn from assessments, from independent work, about how they learn, they'll be able to better voice that.
Well, and I'm thinking about activating students as experts. Thinking about kind of the questions of, all right, who's an expert in Pythagorean theorem? Who feels like they really get it? I'm almost thinking about badging or micro-credentialing, right? Like finding out who in the classroom's already mastered a thing and being like, oh, go learn from them. Because oftentimes as a teacher, a lot of my learning was around, oh, I'm using my words for it. But that eighth grader is explaining the same concept using eighth grade level terms.
Yeah.
And kids are totally getting it from that eighth grader that they weren't getting, what they weren't getting from me. So shifting that piece around as well. So
that's right, because they have the same voice. Those are their peers. They know what they're listening for. They know what's interesting.
Right.
Use them as partners in class and think of them as your teammates.
Right. It's the comment of the smartest person in the room is the room.
That's right.
And oftentimes I think we feel as teachers like, oh, I have to be the smartest person in the room.
And the people that I've seen, especially in, they've been able to let go of that, is that, and they show students that too. So that's a writer showing their writing and asking students, what does it sound like to you? Or a scientist or an artist or, you know, in any content and learning with the students and co-creating that value in there. And that comes through students knowing themselves and being able to speak to how they learn best.
Right.
And that should be in and of itself really an exercise. And then you'll see them start to have more perseverance because they know they're knowing what they can do and how they learn best. And then they can start developing their own weaknesses because no teacher is going to be able to fix that for everybody all the time.
So I'm going to go back to what you initially said, yeah. right? The starting question was yeah. the hardest thing you ask a kid to do during the year shouldn't be the test.
That's right.
And so you're saying, yeah, we should add more independent work and kind of giving that as a simple answer. But this is a complex piece, is scaffolding that reflection yeah. and really thinking about it.
That's right.
So it's kind of like, oh, if I'm going to increase the amount of independent work, mm-hmm. That means I'm going to be less helpful here. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like I'm going to be more helpful here, right?
Yeah,
just kind
totally.
Of kind of transfer where I'm going to act as a teacher and realize, you know what, these kids, they're going to struggle with this. That's great. And the skill they need isn't reading this specific thing or
Never.
Doing this specific math problem. It's helping them process how they did those pieces of work.
And that's what I find is when kids get to tests or assessments or whatever, and that's the hardest thing, it's because they haven't been introduced to some of that material before. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm teaching, I'm not worried about people teaching to a test. I more worry about people teaching to a text. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is where I see kids will say, I know this book backwards and forwards because we did this, 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 and this with it. But then you put them a new piece of, you could put something, a paired passage in front of them, and they don't know how to apply those same skills.
Right.
So that transference of skills, so that it really doesn't matter what book, what collection, what article, what graph you're looking at. And so how do we get kids through that struggle when they see information that's new to them? What are they going to do about it? Do they know what to do about it, or are they going to shut down? And if we were teaching that all throughout, then I really don't see why, if they were just to get a paired passage and read independently for 45 minutes, if that is so hard, then that indicates to me there's a problem somewhere else, that those kids really don't know how to break something apart by themselves.
And we're talking, I think, about some of our high achieving and our low achieving, right?
Absolutely.
So there's, if I
yeah.
think about the students who've kind of really mastered the game of school,
yep.
a lot of what they struggle with is when you say work independently and what did you learn? The questions oftentimes are like, well, what did you want me to learn?
Yeah, they don't, there's not an answer there, and they want an answer there.
Right. Versus making your own meaning, and how are you constructing that, and how does it fit with the knowledge that you've already got? Rather than, oh, this should fit with that other thing that we've already done together.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think that's really true. And so that's why I think, like, that term test anxiety, it to me, it could be more performance anxiety, no doubt. Like, mm-hmm. on an SAT, if a $20,000 scholarship's writing on a test, you're going to be nervous about that test. To me, that's just like any performance. Like,
right.
everyone's watching our baseball game. Yeah, I know I can do this task over and over again in my sleep, but now people are watching me, I get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that part of that's a level of performance anxiety. But in the other situations, to me, it's more just, why is this creating anxiety? Why would a student struggle with this and shut down? And maybe that's because they don't have those strategies in place where they know how to struggle. So how do we help them struggle, but know they'll also be supported?
Right. And so, struggle just feels foreign, right? What is this feeling? And I would tell this. I tell the story about when I got to college and I started taking courses that I didn't just naturally kind of under mm-hmm. as a student who had been successful otherwise.
Yeah.
Then it was like, what is this? Is what learning feels, and I just didn't know. I wasn't prepared for that feeling.
And that's study skills. Like everyone right. says, oh, I don't have study skills, and they think of study skills as note taking. They mm-hmm. think of study skills as knowing how to make an outline.
Mm-hmm.
I think not knowing study skills is not knowing how to necessarily read for purpose. A lot of kids memorize. And so then they get to something that's new, and they're like, well, I don't know this article. I don't have enough background context. I don't have enough information.
Right.
And a lot of times on those assessments, there are questions that kids are supposed to struggle on.
Right.
Just in general. And we don't do that a lot either. Mm-hmm. Because I really feel like we are nurturers. We are educators. We love these kids. We love these kids. So am I loving them so much that I'm giving them answers and I'm not allowing them to develop those muscles?
Right. Well, and I go back to if you have an infant that is learning how to talk, we don't say, oh man, they're not going to get words right off the start. I'm not going to make them go through that learning how to talk
yep.
thing because it's going to be such a struggle for them.
Yeah.
Instead, we realize, oh, this is it. And like, I'm going to model what good looks like and I'm going to let you struggle with those things. And I'll say, what did you mean? And those, right, those same kinds of questions we do with those very basic things that are huge acts of learning. Are we thinking about replicating those same structures with our students?
Totally. Totally. And then getting them to think about, how did that feel?
Right.
Because the thing is, if they're struggling in your class and you're feeling like that for them, I mean, I've had teachers seriously sit in front of me and cry because their kids are so nervous about these things. And I think, that's so beautiful. Like, someone's upset because you're stressed. And yet I know that's not always going to happen in the real world. Like,
right.
This is the best place for them to be struggling, is where someone is caring so much that they don't want you to even do that task. And that's who it's hardest for, is for a parent, for a teacher, for a friend. And yet, you know, they have to build those muscles and they have to build that strength. And so we are the best people to do that for them. We're right. The only people who can do that for them, because we love them and we'll be there for them.
Kim?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. That was fun.
If somebody wants to follow up with you, if they have any questions, where should they find you?
At Wiggins_Kimberly@svvsd.org. Or my extension is 57598. And I'm also on Twitter, kwiggins_svvsd.
Great. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Zach.
A huge thank you to Kim Wiggins for sitting down to have this great conversation around student reflection on independent work. If you want to follow any more about ELA in St. Vrain Valley Schools, you can find us at SVVSDLA on Twitter or at blogs.svvsd.org/languagearts. Until next time, thanks so much.